imitate who? Our Father's Word always gives us ample instructions as to what and how we should act and react. You know, in the beginning, He created animals and insects and populated the earth with them before He made man. And man imitates. He looks at the spider and learns how to weave. And he looks at the swallow and learns how to make an adobe house. The swallow takes mud and grass and weaves together a fine home. So man imitates and learns by imitation, but the main person we're supposed to follow is our Heavenly Father. And we're going to go through the Old and the New Testament on this subject. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 46. And let's let the Father talk to us for a moment about how He feels about the whole situation. The situation in the world and how people act and react and interact. Chapter 46, the great book of Isaiah, Yahweh's salvation. And verse 1 reads, Bel, that's Baal, and boweth down. Nebo, and that's the god of learning, so to speak. Nebuchadnezzar, name, base of his name. Stupeth, their idols were upon the beast, and upon the cattle, your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. In other words, you've got so many idols, the heathen do. They whittle out and make up so many idols that it wears them out carrying them around. They carry a load with them wherever they go. That's why the truth always sets you free. You don't have to carry that load with you. The hang-ups, the idol worship, and so forth. This is the Father speaking, okay? Verse 2. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden by themselves, but themselves are gone into captivity. When God sent Cyrus, God's forenamed Cyrus, before he was born, he conquered them, okay? Took them down. Cyrus would be the one that would give God's children permission and furnish the funds for them to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay. But God said, here they pack around so much stuff that they're so busy doing that, they're going to lose. They're going into captivity. Now, they weren't pleasing our Father. That's what's number one. Okay, verse 3, hearken unto me, God saying, listen to me, O house of Jacob, that's all tribes, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. In other words, they carry junk, but I carry you. I take care of you. From even before you were born, up until now, I'm your Father. I'm your God. Not some stick, not some wagon load of junk, not some house full of relics. I'm your God, and I even carry you. I take care of you. A lot of people have trouble understanding that today. Does He carry you? He wants to. He wants to take care of you. All you have to do is be obedient, love Him, and follow Him. Otherwise, hey, if you want to mix up with a bunch of junk in the world, have to it. It's your party, okay? But that's what He's telling us here. He said, before, even at the time you're conceived, and if you want to go back further into the first earth age, before then, I took care of you. I'm what you need, is what He's saying. Verse 4, and even to your old age, I am He. And even to whorehairs will I carry you. Even when you're gray-headed, I'll take care of you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. And that's His promise, and He means it. I don't know, people like to weigh themselves down with troubles. I'm so worried. What are you worried about? God's carrying you. Get with it. Get with the program. He counsels you. He advises you. He takes care of you. That's His promise. And that's why He feels so close to you. It's because He's carrying you. You're His child. And He loves you. Verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Now, this is why you don't want to really set out to imitate God. That's impossible. Okay. But that's what that particular verse has to do with. You know, who wants to be equal to me? Well, you know, you would be a little bit foolish if you ever thought you could be equal to God. That's trouble going somewhere to happen. Okay. He's your Father, your Creator. Don't you ever forget it. And He takes care of you. Nobody else does for the eternity. You may find somebody that'll carry you a little while in this flesh age. They'll dump you because they're not going anywhere, probably too far out of the flesh age anyway. But your Heavenly Father has you, and He's going to carry you right on through. They, verse 6, they lavish gold out of a bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. Make it with their own hands. You know, people can do this with a business or anything if you're not careful. You can worship it. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Okay, it can be your home, your car, or whatever. Make sure you keep things in perspective. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him. One's going to pray to him, a little prayer, it says. Yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? In other words, that idol you make is not going to raise a hand to help you. And God is carrying you from the womb until you die, and then into the eternity. Why would you want to pass something like that up for cheapness, for something man-made? And what did man make it out of? What God created, that was natural, like the spider that weaves the web and teaches man how to weave, or the swallow that teaches man how to make an adobe. How interesting what man will do and what man takes upon himself. And he has the thought. I mean, a child of the living God that created all things. And they want to carry something and build something that will take his place. Nothing will take his place. Nothing is equal to him. Verse 8, remember this and show yourselves men. I mean, you stand up and be men, women, and children of God. I want to see it. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. You stop wavering around from one side to the other trying to find something to worship on this earth and grow up and remember me. That's our Father speaking. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. You're not going to find anyone else. So love Him. He is so tender and so gentle. When you return that love, when you follow Him, when you obey Him as best you can, nobody's perfect. But when you do your best, He stamps it perfect. Why? He loves you. And He loves when you follow Him. He loves it when you are encouraged by Him. And certainly this chapter should encourage you. God is getting right down where the rubber meets the road. He's getting right down there where telling you, grow up, look at me. Nobody will help you the way I will. And he needs it, okay? Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. It's in your hand, this letter. Declares the beginning and the end. Have you read it? And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, God has the correct data. He knows what tomorrow brings. And if you have His Word, you've got the correct data to work with. His Word, His counsel. He wants to counsel you. You know, you can never pay a counselor that is good as the one you hold in your hand and your heart and your mind. That's your Father. He that protects your soul. He that carries you. He's so wonderful, that counsel. Calling, verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And what he's telling these people is, there's an old boy over here that has an eagle as his standard. It was Cyrus, okay? I'm going to call him, and you can rest assured he will obey me. He's going to come and take you out of his misery, talking to Baal and Baal worshipers. Okay. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. 13, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. And he will and has and does. But Israel scattered all over the world, many of them coming to Europe and then to Canada and America. And the 10 tribes that went north, and the house of Judah as well. We know pretty well where some of it is today. But the other is scattered. And then some people, he promises, I'm going to bless you if you try. And where we have a Christian nation, it is, nevertheless, what people might say. That's why when you reach in your pocket and pull out a coin, it says, in God we trust, because we do. And that's why God blesses America. That's why God blesses His own. It's His promise. So stand up, be a man or a woman or a child of God, and recognize that He loves you. And He always will, He always has. That's His promise. But when it comes to imitating, you head in that direction, but no one can ever be equal with Him. Let's go to the book of Ephesians that's written to God's elect, those that He chose before the foundation of the world, as it's written in the great book of Ephesians. And I want to go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 in the great book of Ephesians. This is written to God's elect. Why, as I told you in chapter 1, verse 4 of Ephesians, it stipulates very clearly, I chose you before the foundations of this earth age, because I wanted you, needed you, and God's elect serve Him. So let's start with chapter 5, verse 1. What does it say? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, this word followers is an interesting word in the Greek. It's mimetes. It's where our word mimic comes from. Okay? It means to imitate. So let's read it that way. That's what this subject is about. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. You shoot for it. You go for it. He cares for you. He takes care of you. And we use that word minites in the Greek, but imitate in the English. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Gave himself. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Saints being set aside ones, okay? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. You know, this does not mean you're not to have a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. Some people take this too far, and boy, they won't even, if you even tease them just a little bit, they get all upset and say, that's jesting. That's not what it's talking about. When you're giving thanks to our Father, that's not the time to jest, but to jest with a friend, humor is a beautiful thing. It's a mark of Israel. Laughter in Isaac, okay? Verse 5, for this you knew, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's why you don't want to imitate that. You don't want to follow Baal and Nebo. It won't cut it for you. Okay. Look at your father. Do you know something? He's the closest relative you'll ever have. Do you know why? Because you were a soul before your mother and father ever had you. You were a soul with him created. That's the closest relative you've got. That's not to say you're not to love your parents. But know who your true father is, your heavenly father, who knew you even before the womb. And he cares for you. It means a lot to him. He loves deep. He loves hard when you return that love. Okay. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. It'll happen. Okay. You know, and you're in a generation where some will say, well, if you've got a God, let him bring him on. Let's see what he can do. Oh, are they going to find out? Okay. If they were wise enough, they could see it today. Because he's very active in the world at this time. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Stand up and be a man, woman, or a child of God. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, of truth. Darkness is of Satan. You don't need that. You don't need deception. You need truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Do you know how to test the fruit? It's real simple. You can tell by spiritual discernment. Just if you even get close to a person, you know whether they're of Christ or not. All they have to do is say a word or two and you know. Okay. 5 minutes at utmost, you can cut it. Okay. You know. Proving what, you're not judging, that's just discernment, and you're supposed to. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. By following Him, by imitating Him, you know this. Why? The Holy Spirit touches you and enlightens you. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And so it is. Man, I tell you, around this world today, when in the name of God they murder people, and then you even have righteous people that are deceived that will say, we should go easy on them. We should always take care of our enemy. You know, that's a good way to get the enemy to take care of you, okay? Been there, done that, friend. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's why I say you can tell. It's called discernment, my friend. Spiritual discernment. You don't have to play guessing games. You can tell. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's the spiritual dead. It doesn't mean literal dead. You know, you got a lot of dead people out there walking around. They're so spiritually dead than a hammer. I mean, walk up and ask them, one of them sometime, have you ever read the book of Nebuchadnezzar? Chapter 1? And they'll say, well, no, my mother did, but I haven't. You know. They don't even know there's not a book titled Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. Okay. They're biblically illiterate. It's sad, real sad. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be careful, in other words. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Watch yourself. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you ever pray, always pray, Father, if it's your will? Because he wants what's best for you, and he's carrying you. And if it's going to hurt you, he doesn't want to give it to you, okay? He'll take real good care of it. That's why you want to always pray in his will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That way the Holy Spirit can operate in you. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can't help being happy in him when he shows that love to you and you return it. And he carries you. He blesses you. He blesses you in your business. He blesses you in your knowledge of understanding. When you pray for knowledge, he's going to give it to you. But you got to ask him. If you get hung up and you wonder, well, what does that mean? Ask him. If you don't believe, he will tell you after you do your homework and study. If man can't answer it for you, then you prayerfully ask him to explain it to you, and you might be surprised what will happen to you in the next few minutes, moments, or hours. It's going to whack hit your mind like a ton of brick, and you're going to say, why couldn't I have seen that? I understand it now, and then I'll take credit for it. No, you won't. He gave it to you. Okay. Hey, I don't know how I'm speaking as a person that studies his word and teaches his word. I'm not ashamed to admit I get hung up sometimes, but he always helps me out. So is it a miracle? What kind of? But it's your Father. You have every right in the world to ask him for knowledge and wisdom. And do you think he's going to withhold it if you deserve it? He's your Father, after all, and he loves you. Okay, we're going to go somewhere else here for a minute. We're going to go to Philippians, I think. I'm right. I should have known it. Next book over, Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, and again, imitate who? You imitate who you're told to imitate from the Word of God, from His counsel. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Again and again, if I decide to say that, if I decide to bring it to you. I'm sorry, I want to go to chapter 5. Of Ephesians. Not sorry. I believe we've already been there, and I do want chapter 3 of this, and away we go. Verse 2, kind of scared me when I looked that dog in the face. Yeah. Beware of dogs, of evil workers. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the conclusion. That is to say, the multitude of heathenism, false worship. Beware of it. Be awake and understand. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It'll always mislead you if you're not careful. Okay. If someone is not spiritually led, you may have trouble. Watch it. Be careful. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Old Paul says, my credentials will hold up pretty good in the flesh if somebody really wanted to brag on that part of it. Circumcised the eighth day, right by law, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, I was right in there, the seed of Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews, I've studied under the Hebrew teachers, even at the feet of Gamaliel, as touching the law of Pharisee. I had it. I had credentials, the DD this, the DD that, and the whole smack, okay? Had it all. Six, concerning zeal, now you know how zealous Paul was. Persecuting the church, I mean, he went full bore. Dragging them out in the street, men, women, children. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, I went at it all the way, and it was lawful, I thought, as a Pharisee, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Compared to him, it was all a loss. And compared to you serving Christ, all is a loss, too, of the flesh. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Okay. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. In other words, on the road to Damascus when he was struck down, he had a lot. He had a lot going for him. He could get about whatever he wanted to from the big wigs in Jerusalem. He had a letter in his pocket to persecute Christians in Damascus. And God decided, inasmuch as he was a chosen vessel, chosen by God, as it's written in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, to teach on three levels, to both the kings and the queens, to the Gentiles and to Israel. That's what Paul's commission was. God chose him before he ever walked this earth. It was time for him to get his act together. But that man's zeal was born in him. He was a go-getter. And you know what, all you people here know what a go-getter is, okay? But he was good at it, really zealous, okay? And let's go with verse 9. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, by believing, by knowing, and by understanding. You get that by imitating, by following the works of this one God struck down. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And so he was, okay? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That is to say, I want life eternal. That means more than anything. You know, and what does the flesh get you? 100 years, maybe. What does resurrection get you? Eternity and everything. I mean a world without all the hang-ups. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm captured by him. I hope you are too. I hope there's not a thing in the world you can do to backtrack and pull away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from Almighty God that carries you. I hope that you take it that serious, because he loves you. And he's carried you whether you like it or not. But he does call and whistle to the eagle, too, sometimes, to come and clean house. Make sure you're not in that category. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but as one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't ever look back and start blaming yourself for things. I'm better than that. No, you're not. You did it. Okay. You just did. So you need forgiveness. Ask him for it and he'll do it. So that's what he's saying here. Don't look back. Once you've repented, it's gone. And you're a new creature. You have a fresh start. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he did, and so it was. And with that, he always followed and did well. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. That means mature, okay? And mature. Be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He'll make it known. Your attitude, whatever, he'll correct it. He'll help you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Be of one mind in the Lord. Okay. Think in the Word, for the Word, by the Word, by His counsel. Brethren, be followers together of me. There's mimic me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. We're what you look at. We're your ensample. Hey, I persecuted the church. They didn't come any badder than me. Good English, okay? But the point is, you may think you're bad. Not like Paul was. And yet God chose him and used him. So don't you ever let that hold you up. And follow him. Mimic him. Imitate him. That's what this word means. Because he's your ensample. He's something to go by. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, there's many that walk around claiming to be Christians, but I weep when I look at them because they're a bunch of fakes. They're sorry. They're not real. So you want to watch it, friend. Many shall come in the name of Christ, and they're not real. What is he saying? Use me as an example. Paul talking. He set that example. Follow him. He gives you counsel in his word. He wrote most of the New Testament at God's hand. So you've got all kinds of advice there to straighten you out. And help you. Whose end is destruction? That's perdition. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's all they can think about. They can't get their mind out of earthly things. And their belly is providing out, only trying to make it, so I've got plenty put aside. Okay. Never thinking about the eternity. That is important. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, friends. I don't care what people tell you. Well, when is it going to happen? It's going to happen. He's coming back, and he's not coming back as a baby to be crucified this time. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to rule. His shepherd's staff is a rod of iron. That means stern, yet justified and disciplined. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. On the first day of the millennium, when he returns, every knee is going to bow. And in that instant, you're going to step out of that flesh body, and your beautiful spiritual body is going to step forth, the one that lasts in eternity, to serve him in the millennium, because you're worthy, and because he counts you as mature, and you imitate and follow him, that example that he set. You know, many might say, well, but he was Paul. Oh, was he? Do you think he never had any problems? He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was jailed. Not for anything wicked or criminal, but for teaching the Word of God. He's that example to you that you can follow and you can trust, that you can imitate. And what is your reward? Eternal life and that beautiful body. In closing, go to 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 1, let's pick it up with about verse 4. This is written, Thessalonians is talking about the return of Christ. That's why a lot of people in the second book of this great Thessalonians, they get the rapture doctrine going, or the first one rather, in chapter 4 of this first Thessalonians. It's talking about Christ returning and they think they're going to fly like a butterfly, okay? But all we do is we meet Him in that spiritual body. So this is written to the election. Pay attention. Listen to it carefully. First, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Not, did it say volunteered? No, it says election. Okay. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, that's confidence, as ye know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. Not for our sake, but for your sake, that you attain eternal life, that you're somebody, that you can be a help to others. Do you understand how important that is, that you be a help to others? They're hurting out there, friend. One little word of kindness and direction, plant a seed. If it grows, fine. If it doesn't, leave it alone. But planting a seed, giving people hope. And you become followers of us, imitators. That's what that word is again. Mimetus in the Greek. Mimicking. Followers of us and of the Lord. Of who? Of the Lord. Having received the word in which in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit. This whole world is troubled right now, and there is a lot of affliction. But God's still carrying you. He's watching over you. Don't you ever forget it. You know, you can let the smoke come up, and you can get confused a little bit if you're not careful. Remember, He's carrying you. Lean on Him. Go to His counsel. This word. You'll always come through in good shape, the Holy Spirit. It didn't say just faith. It said power. And He gives you powers if you'll exercise them as a child of God should. Okay? So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, you were their example. It works like that. And for you, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. In other words, we taught you and now you have taken that through your imitating us and it's spilled over the banks. It's way on out there. We don't even have to go there because you've done it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, beloved. God carries His children that believe upon Him. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Don't ever get caught back up in the world again after you see the truth of election, especially. Verse 10 to complete the lecture. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Did you notice that was past tense? He delivered us from the wrath to come. You don't have any part in it. You've escaped it by loving Him, by believing Him, by following Him, by imitating Him. that imitation of carrying that word forth. There could be 10,000 teachers, but one that teaches truth and imitates Paul. That's to say, carry Paul's message forth as it's written, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. You're going to help people. You're going to make a difference. And Father certainly is going to love you. Imitate who? Our Father, as best we can, to follow Him and that Son that comes soon and brings us a heavenly reward. And then, you know what's really beautiful? In the millennium, we're really going to be able to help people. They're going to listen. Do you know why they're going to listen? They're not going to have any other choice, okay? They're going to listen. And it's going to be a time of teaching. Some of them will still go bad, but be that as it may, that's the way it is. We'll drag as many as we can out of that fire. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your counsel. Thank You, Father, for carrying us. Thank You for helping us, loving us, for we return that love, Father, through the Holy Spirit, that the truth and wisdom may abound in this world in these end times. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
He is it. And the world is his dominion. Okay. Now, there are still tribes, branches, and people called ethnos in the Greek, in which is nations in the English. And they will come there. But those are happy nations because they love him. But the enemy nations will be angry. Why? They'll be praying for, and some of the other will even be praying for mountains to fall on them. Stay from Georgia. My question is, will you spell the names that you use for God and Jesus? Well, it's the Hebrew sacred name. Okay, Yahweh is Y-A-H-B-E-H. Yahweh. Okay. And Yeshua is Y-A-S-H-U-A, Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior. Those are the names that Jesus, through the Father, when He spoke to Moses. Moses said, "Hey, who am I going to say sent me? What am I going to tell those people who you are?" And that's when He said, "I am Iyashaiya," which is to say, "I am that I am." And the that is the etymology of that sacred name, okay? And that is the name that is utilized. The next question is, was Adam married two times? My friend told me that they saw on a certain channel that Adam had two wives and the second wife was Eve. That's false teaching, okay? And do you know why that they teach that? There are certain scholars, I've heard from them, they write me and tell me if you teach what you teach, they're going to call you a racist, okay? If you teach that God created other races. So the way they get around the fact that on the sixth day God created Adam, human, and then on the eighth day He created Et HaAdam. That's another people. And they're separate. Adam and Eve was taken from Adam's own DNA and formed by Almighty God to bring forth the Christ child. That's why He separated them. that there were people on earth in the sixth day. And that's the reason they come up with, usually they call her Lilith, okay? And she was the sex goddess. You know, you might as well realize it's mythology. It's a bunch of malarkey, for one thing. Mother Eve is the mother of all living. Why? And that's scripture. Eve is the mother of all living for a very simple reason. Through her would come Christ, and you're either in him or you're not living long. Okay. If you don't have eternal life, I can tell you where you're going, but you probably can figure that one out. But there you go, Fanny. I hope that helps you. Walker from Virginia, on a recent broadcast, a listener wrote in and asked you if there were people on the earth before Adam. You replied that there was. The Bible states that Adam was the first man. Please explain. I just got through, okay? You know, you've got to study the manuscripts. And you that do not have the ability to study the manuscripts, you need to order my first six chapters of Genesis in video, or catch it the next time it's on television, because I go back into the Hebrew and teach you the translation even, and show you the Hebrew manuscripts to document that they're... listen, look around. I mean, Christianity is a reality. God's Word is a reality. Where do you think all the races came from? They didn't come from one person, okay? Because there are too many ethnic types to come from one person. It won't fly. And God created them, and He loves them. He looked, and it was good. That's the last verse of chapter 1 in the book of Genesis. God loves all of His children. But I do not find it racist at all. If you teach what God said, that He was happy with it, and He gives dignity and respect to all people, but they are different. And you must respect that difference with dignity. You know, and if people would understand that, there would be no racial problems. We only have one Father, God. But we have many different races and peoples. And it's written in the letter. God's letter is complete. We all came from one. You won't fly, friend. You won't fly. Too many races. God created us the way He wanted us, and He intended that we stay that way. Jeff from Texas. Were the city of Sodom and Gomorrah condemned more for their indifference and to the poor and indignant than their debauchery? No. They were perverted, and they perverted everything about the Word of God. That was the reason they were destroyed, and God makes that very clear. Okay. They were rich because they lived right on the most fertile part of the land. That's why Lot chose it instead of going where his uncle went. Okay, got Hannah from Arkansas. I'm wanting to know if the bad people, and Hannah is 8 years old, okay, from Arkansas. I'm wanting to know if the bad people are going to heaven with us. Then is God going to have the trial and make the people who betrayed Him leave forever? You got it right. That's very wise. They will all be changed. Hannah, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, in an instant, the good, the bad, all change to go before the Father in that dimension in a spiritual body for judgment. Of course, we have the millennium slipped right in there between, and that's fine. That's because God loves His children. But if the bad refuse to love the Father and love His other children, then, yep, they're going to be going away, and that'll be the end of it, all right? And you're a good student. I'm proud of you. Hope from Iowa is age 13. Love you, children, okay? Pastor Murray, I was wondering if you could tell me if reincarnation is in the Bible. If it is, could you please tell me where I can find it in the Bible? Hope from Iowa. Hope it's not there, okay? There's to be reincarnated, one soul must come back to the flesh, but it is written that everyone is to die but once. There is only one time that one dies in the flesh, okay? And that's something we all must do, that or being changed. But many, and I know that there are some that say there is reincarnation because they'll say, I can remember back 400 years ago when I was in Spain. No. They're possessed by a familiar spirit that was in someone in Spain 400 years ago. They weren't, because they have a birth certificate, okay? And like I stated, God says one time, and that's all, okay? Only one birth, one death, and you go on to be with the Father in a spiritual body. The evil spirits bring about this reincarnation stuff, and people are not familiar enough with God's Word to recognize them when they do this, okay? No reincarnation. Incarnate, yes. Reincarnate, no. Sherry from Kentucky. I would like to ask, when the false Christ comes back, won't the people who believe in the rapture wonder why they aren't flying away? Won't they figure something's not right here? Sherry from Kentucky. Well, there's one thing. What is he going to be telling them? We've got to save your brethren. Go to your brothers that don't believe upon me, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers. That's why it's written in Mark 13, mother will betray daughter to death. Who is death? We covered it in today's lecture. Christ came to this earth to destroy death, which is to say the devil. Not they're delivered up before death, which is to say the devil, to witness against him by the Holy Spirit speaking through them. They're going to do it to try to save. There's going to be a big revival. And unfortunately, that's where the deceived people turn the true people into. And that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're going to be delivered up, and you're not to premeditate what you'll say, but what gives you it, God gives you at that time, the Holy Spirit. Jan from Georgia, what is the difference between soul and spirit? And please give me some verses to read on this. The difference between soul and spirit, I like to translate soul as self. Regardless of what body you're in, you only have one soul. Okay. God created your soul in the beginning. Your soul belongs to him. I quoted that from Ezekiel 18:4. Okay. Now, your spirit is the intellect of yourself, which to say, your spirit is the intellect of your soul. It's your thought process. A man can use his spirit and to teach the word, to do good things, or he can use his spirit, it can be bad, and do bad things. To teach falsely, to mislead people, that's a bad spirit. That's bad intellect. But true intellect, then, and spiritual discernment is very important. Every Christian should be pretty strong in spiritual discernment. You should not have to be around somebody 5 minutes and you got their number. That is just nature itself. If you'll let your intellect work, your intellect will always warn you if there's something not quite right. If this spirit of this person you're talking with doesn't quite top out to the top floor, then you know there's something wrong somewhere down here. And a wise person knows with spiritual discernment, back off, don't get involved hastily. So, scriptures to read, Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews is written to God's elect as well. to show them that Christ became our Sabbath. You'll read that there. But it will also tell you that that Holy Spirit is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it can cut asunder marrow from the bone and the spirit from the soul. Okay? And I hope that helps you. Debbie from Michigan. The subject I really want to understand as much as humanly possible is the soul, nephesh, and of an animal. My pets are part of our immediate family. All people love their pets. God loves his animal. That's why he created them. And Isaiah chapter 11 lets us know, and I can tell by the depth that you have studied and that you have a companion Bible, you probably research nephesh, and you know it is applied to animals at times. So you know that in Isaiah chapter 11, we're in eternity. And you have the lion, the lamb, the bear, and the kid, and so forth, all right there, okay? And there are no carnivores. And they all get along fine. Jerry from California, did any woman attend the Last Supper with Jesus? Well, now, you ask a question that I will answer in this way, and I'm out of time, so I'll have to answer it quickly. It is believed by some that this took place in Mark John's house, so naturally Mark John's mother would have been there. She's the one that fed them. Okay, hey, I'm out of time. And Mark John's father would have been the man with the pitcher. That's what is believed by many. I'm out of time. I love you all a bunch. Why? Because you enjoy studying God's Word in depth, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. You make his day, he's going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, when you bless God, he always blesses you. But listen, you know what's most important? It's this. Stay in his word. Every day in his word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus is the living word.